This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building. We're right in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down, have some lunch at Midtown Cafe. She has a great chicken noodle soup today, too. It looks smells. really good.
Her pumpkin
good.
Bisque on Friday was outstanding.
Yeah,
you know
she's
what? You
so
wouldn't expect
good.
That, you know, this time of the year. But you know what? That's good anytime. And I'm sure June would agree.
Well, the weather has not been conducive to get into the warm set, cook the salads and stuff. Mm-hmm. Soups and stews are still in season right now.
But, you know, here at Midtown, we do soups year round.
Right.
I mean,
I do too. Oops.
I eat soup all the time, and Mike and I have shared that.
Thank you.
And, you know, I don't like places that stop doing soup in the summertime because I like soup.
Right.
And there's a lot of great cold soups as well, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of cold soups,
no.
But I have tried a few.
You like vichyssoise, or have you ever had...
I've had vichyssoise, and I do like that.
Yeah.
What is it, gazpacho?
Gazpacho.
Yeah, I'm not a big gazpacho fan. I know. She loves it.
I do, too.
Yeah. Mm. She makes a really good one. She does.
I wouldn't know. I've never had Carol's gazpacho yet.
Oh,
so.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be tasting my gazpacho. She makes a good one up here, too.
Does she?
She does. You know,
she's great up there.
For someone that had, you know, started and never cooked a soup before.
Oh,
she
really?
Yeah. My dad gave her a few pointers
right.
and pretty much set her loose, and her soups are really, really good.
Hey, now, what kind of volume do you have to make? Do you have, like 20 gallons or something?
No,
like that?
Here, no.
Yeah.
Here, I think it might be 4 gallons, maybe.
Okay.
You know, we're just open Monday through Friday during the week until, you know, 3 p.m. So it's, you know, not huge amounts like the diner.
Well, right. Soup is such healthy food. And I know we talk here on Meatless Mondays, and, you know, there's probably more non-meat soups than there are than have it. Well, I mean, you can always add chicken or beef or whatever, but it's such a great way to showcase vegetables.
It is. And, you know, I love just opening my fridge. My vegetables are starting to go south. Throw them in a pot.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Exactly.
Put your mirepoix in there, your carrot, celery,
mirepoix.
And
that.
Quoi.
It's pois.
Quoi.
It's P.
Spell it.
It's mirepoix.
I don't know. M-A-R-I...
It's French, mirepoix.
Oh, mirepoix, P-O-I-S. Okay.
P-O-I-S, yeah.
Right.
So, of your carrot, celery, and onions.
Mirepoix.
Oops.
Sorry. That's all right.
And then I just throw in all my vegetables that I have and just go from there. Brown rice and...
Is chicken stock your base
it
typically?
Is. Typically,
I mean,
it is.
It's almost like a camouflage. It can take on whatever characteristics that you want.
You're exactly right. And I love Rachel Ray's. I found that I really like hers. And with the low sodium in it and everything, just is real tasty for me. So that's what I go off of. So
That's my biggest complaint about soups. And as Carol knows, I will only eat canned soup if I'm on my deathbed and I have to have it. And it's just so overpowering with the sodium taste.
Oh, exactly.
That it just kills all the other flavors that are in there, but you know, we're a world of convenience, and you know, in the 50s and 60s, we all kind of grew up with that mentality, and I'm glad that you're bringing back the real deal.
Thank you. But I also like when I do a turkey, oh my God, to take that whole turkey and all these vegetables, throw it in there, make a broth from that. Now that makes the best soup.
The best soup.
Soup, exactly.
And
of course,
dinner.
Carol's is the best soup ever. Did you ever hear
I
that?
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
I say I just made the best soup ever.
Oh, okay.
Even if it's a different
really?
One all the time.
So you keep topping yourself, in
I
other
do.
Words.
Yeah, I do.
She does.
Wow.
Well, that's what I hear. I'm looking forward to sampling at some time.
So but, what do you have today for Meatless Monday?
Well, I found something really interesting. It's called a mushroom wild mushrooms, wild mushroom and nut pie.
Ooh.
I know it kind of sounds different, but
so after, mushroom and nut pie?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm listening. I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm listening,
now, I'm
too.
Hoping I pronounce this right, because I'm not really good at it, but it's a mushroom. It's a dried mushroom, and it's spelled C-E-P-E-S. Seeps?
C-E-P-E-S? Seeps or seeps? Don't know.
It's a type of wild mushroom that's grown in France, like all over the place.
Okay.
And it's one of the, and we can get it here dried. So you take dried seeps and dried morels, and you reconstitute them in warm water for about 20 minutes. While you're doing that, you get some blanched almonds, the whole ones, and you roast them for about 15, 20 minutes. And cashews as well. You can stick that in there because they are all the nuts are always better when you roast them in the oven just for a few minutes. It just brings out a great flavor. And it also has butter, diced onions, garlic, white mushrooms, chopped parsley, chopped thyme, chopped margarine, sage, brown rice, cooked brown rice, shredded fontina cheese and shredded mozzarella and non-fat cottage cheese and two eggs. And what you do is you just reconstitute the mushrooms, like I said, roast all your nuts and cool, and then grind them or chop them finely.
The nuts.
Okay. Correct. And then you're going to heat the butter in a large pan, add the onions, the garlic, and saute them until they're translucent. I got a tongue tied today. And then you add the fresh mushrooms to that and cook until all their juices have evaporated. Then you stir in all the herbs and remove them from the heat. Then you're going to combine the rice, the nuts, and the cheese in a large bowl. Add the cooked mushrooms and the rehydrated mushrooms and the eggs and the rice mixture and mix it all really well. Spray a 2 9-inch pie pans and then bake them at 350 for an hour.
So no crust?
No.
You just put that all in the pie pan?
Right, the rice and the nuts and all that. I just thought that sounded really different, and I'm hoping it would be real flavorful, too, with the nuts and the rice.
I think you need to try it, Jen.
I think I might. I probably will this week. Because I know I say meatless Mondays, but I don't always do it on a Monday. But yeah. I at least try doing meatless one day a week.
Well, Good Friday is coming up, and for many Catholics, that's the no-meat day of the calendar year, so
right.
That really sounds good. I might like to take, although those French seeps,
I think
mushrooms. You get those dried here?
Yeah, I would
at a specialty store.
Probably not. You know, they have a lot of dried mushrooms right at Market Basket and all that, and I bet they'd probably be right there with the dried morels.
Yeah, they might be. They might be. And I know Fresh Market has a good supply of dried mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
They have, you know, when I go next, I'll look to see if it's there.
I know. I go there now all the time.
The consistency, June, is it kind of wet or is it kind of a solid or congealed? Or
I'm not 100%
sure. I see the picture. Is that the picture of it there?
No, that's the soup.
Oh.
It didn't show a picture.
Can't really tell.
No, I don't. But by the sounds of it, it sounds like it would come out like almost like a minced meat.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Could you chop in the nuts and
with the rice?
That's what I would think anyways. And I bet you could add vegetables to that because you can add vegetables to anything.
That's right.
Make it look good.
And I wouldn't use butter. I'd probably just use olive oil.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
That's what I'm doing now, too.
Yeah. Carol, you're disappointing me.
No, it's much healthier for you. But trust me, it's taken me a while.
Bob did look up seeps, and it's pronounced sep.
Sep. Oh, thank you,
pronounced
Mike.
Sep.
Mark.
Bob. Mike. Mark.
Mike.
Bob.
Mark.
Bob.
Whoever you are out there. The man at the other
end.
And
he said it sounds pretty good. He loves mushroom dishes. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, we'll be putting it up on the...
it'll be up on the Food for Thought.
I mean, look at all the things you could do with the big portobello mushroom caps.
I know. Put those on the grill.
Put them on the grill. That's right. Or stuff them. Yeah. So those are my two favorite things.
Yep. I love doing that. You know, and for Meatless Mondays, one thing I just like to reiterate is that the facts for Meatless Mondays, there's so many good things out there for you. And just doing it once a week may reduce your risk of chronic preventable diseases such as cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity. Also cuts back on weekly budgets. Vegetables, fruit, and whole grains have been shown to protect against cardiovascular disease as well. So those are just always a few tips to remember when you're thinking, do I really want to go meatless once a week? Give it a shot. And they're finding that it's global now. You know, many countries do it, and it's all over. It's a big thing now.
So you're saying it's kind of become part of some cultures?
Yes.
Because, I don't really see that happening in this country because we're so big and so diverse
right.
in so many cultures. But perhaps in more singular places around the world, you can see that catching on because, for the most part, a lot of those places probably don't consume a lot of meat anyway.
You're right.
A lot of countries around the world are such better eaters than we are because they stay away from the processed stuff.
I have a little nun that I just love. She's a little Irish nun right from Ireland. And she said they very rarely ate a lot of meat. It was all vegetables. And she had us over for dinner and she just roasted up this whole pan of luscious vegetables, and it was just delicious. And this is the way they always eat, you know, more veggies than anything. So
right. Veggies and grains.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So. I love roasted vegetables.
I know.
I like soup. I eat roasted veggies, especially in the, you know, in the summer when you're going to all the farmers markets and all the fresh veggies
and it's good to roast them and then make a soup out of them.
Oh
yeah.
Now, you know, when you said you roast your nuts,
yep.
Like, how do you roast them? Do you put olive oil on them or something?
No,
or
you just put them on a cookie sheet. Yeah. Yep. And just put them in the oven, like 400, and just only in there for about 10 minutes till you can see they start to turn a light brown color.
Really?
Yeah, you
got to
catch them because they'll turn bad really quickly.
Quick. Yep.
I might consider using parchment paper because that sometimes will slow down burning in the oven and stuff. So
you're a little connoisseur yourself, huh, Mike?
I'm not just this cute little boy toy that Carol
has. You're not?
My radio husband.
Oh, there you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, dear.
Poor Daryl. Yes, dear. That's funny. But yeah, and you only keep them in there, like you said, a short time. And you can smell it, too. As soon as you smell it and you see them turning brown, take them right out. Just let them cool down and then do what you got to do with them.
Very interesting.
You talk about the Irish diet, and I think potatoes, at least traditionally, has been a big part of it, that the starch portion of there. Are potatoes still as big, I'm wondering, because maybe you don't know, a part of the diet in Ireland or not?
I believe they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they do. They use their potatoes with everything, so.
I still haven't warmed up to sweet potatoes.
No?
No,
really?
I really haven't. I mean, I just love, I'm sorry, Carol, putting butter on my white potato.
Well, and I put butter on my sweet potato, too.
Yeah, sure.
Just a little.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's okay.
No,
that's
and it's better off that you don't. I realize that. But there are some good butter products, like the whipped butters, the Land O'Lakes with the canola oil, I think is better for you than
the spray.
The spray stuff.
You know that spray?
Yeah,
and it has absolutely nothing in it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, those are the best.
A little scary.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. What are you really getting?
How can it have a taste and there's nothing, no calories?
I just do
nothing.
A couple squirts, but I'm surprised you don't like sweet potatoes.
You know, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't dislike them. But if I'm making dinner and it's going to require a starch, Barb, I know you want a sweet potato, I'm going to go for white. You know, I'll have a sweet once in a while. I like the sweet potato fries better than I do.
I'm the opposite.
Really?
I hate sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
I can't eat them.
Well, you got to make them right. I mean,
when I lived in Florida, we used to go to this place that made sweet potato fries, but they had this apple butter dipping thing.
Yum.
Oh, my God. That was really good, but really bad for you, of course, because it's fried. And but that was then. This is now.
Okay.
But, I don't like sweet potato like pie or any of that. When they add all the maple syrup or that other stuff, I'm not.
Your teeth hurt.
Yeah, I just like mine with a little bit of butter and salt and pepper. That's it.
There you go.
Yeah, makes it easy. So... did you guys Do you, you know, we're coming into Easter and all of that.
Next week.
I know. I'm so excited.
And it's at my house.
How many are you having?
You know, it switched. It went from Lori and Brian's house
right
to my house.
Oh, well.
Like this morning that happened.
You're the party animal anyways.
Me?
Yeah. You throw a good party.
Wow. It's just, it's Easter.
Well,
I mean,
still, that's a celebration.
Traditional ham or what are you doing? A crown roast? Or?
My dad is bringing ham. He's bringing the ham because he ordered it. And you know what we're doing? This is kind of different. This is actually very different.
Very different, yep.
We are on Saturday. Lori and I are getting a lesson from my aunt on making stuffed cabbage. I've never made stuffed cabbage.
Is that right?
Oh. Yeah.
So, I don't think it's too hard.
No, it's not.
You got to get the tricks down, though, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all in the cabbage and how you cook it, because you have to have it pliable, but not too overcooked so it falls apart. But it isn't that bad. It's easy.
I just can't see boiling all those cabbage leaves.
Well,
and how
does
it
whole.
You do keep it whole?
Yeah, you keep it whole and you core out the center like.
Ah.
That's one way. That's the way I do it, is I core out the center and you put it in a big pot of boiling water and you do it that way. And some people put it in the microwave too. I haven't done that. Yeah, I haven't done that. But I've heard people do that too. So.
Well, you know what Bob just said? He said Hannafer's has cabbage for 10 cents a pound.
Nice.
Yesterday. And he said you boil the whole head. See, I never knew that.
Yep.
I never knew that. So you do that little core thing, and then when you put it in the boiling water, like they kind of separate like
they
that?
They do. They'll start separating, and you'll have to keep it in there a while. You know, fork it to see if it's tender. And once it's tender, take it out, let it cool a little bit, and then you start peeling off the leaves.
Wow. Very interesting. Have you ever made that?
I never have. No. But I'm thinking ham and stuffed cabbage. What else?
I don't know. I may do something else. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But we'll see.
We have 29 coming to our house.
Oh, do you?
11 kids. And I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this whole thing. So I did something I feel is pretty clever. I had one family that's the mother with her two daughters that have kids. Are taking care of all the desserts, and then my brother and his kids are taking care of all the appetizers, and Dennis and I are doing the main meal. We're going to do a ham, a nice course, nice big healthy salad. I'm trying to find some good healthy vegetable recipes that would be good for a crowd. And then I'm going to do a spinach pita. I always do that.
Oh, nice.
And my homemade beans. Yeah. So, and we're having the ham.
See, spinach pita, see, that's another thing that I'm afraid to do, too, with all
but
those layers.
But you did do it.
I did it once.
Right.
And
you did
it's
have
two
a hard time.
You mean
consuming.
The phyllo dough?
Yeah.
Two times.
Yeah, that is. All those layers.
You got to be kind of quick with it. And, you know, I don't put butter on every layer at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have sprayed with the canola and the butter thing.
Does that work?
It doesn't come out as crispy.
Yeah.
But and it's a little drier, but it's healthier. So depending on which way you want to go, but with my family for Easter, I have to do the whole.
Are you fans of spiral cut hams?
No.
No, why?
I think they dry out too quick for me, and I don't like the sweetness that gets into them and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not. So, but we're having a nice. They're called Florida Lee. They're from Canada, actually, and it's a boneless, skinless, everything.
Well, that makes life a little easier.
Yes, it does.
Very cool.
We're going to do that. So
very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, June, thank you for Meatless Mondays.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
That was fun. That was very fun. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And coming up next is Susan Osborne, B Image Consulting. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and it's a healthy Monday today. You can give us a call at any time as well. It's 866-823-1077. And we are, I'd like to welcome on our next guest. We are in studio. This is a new segment that we're starting every other week, and I'm really excited about it. And I'd like to welcome on Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. And you can also check her out on the web at bimageconsulting.com. And today's subject is spring into action and secret shopping, clothes shopping secrets revealed, which
Ooh.
She kind of gave me a little, you know, I've had a couple lessons from her. Mm-hmm. And like, I was so excited to see her today to make sure how my makeup looked. I had so much fun going to Ulta.
Oh, fun, huh?
Do you know how much fun money store? I spent on it? Mm. Oh, my. And you know the thing with makeup, too? It's like this much. You know, I mean, because they're just little, you know, little boxes and, mm-hmm. you know, your lipsticks and all that. And oh, yikes.
But so anyway. Were you not that involved in makeup in the past, or are you just kind of changing your style?
I put makeup on, not mm-hmm. makeup, though. Like when right. I think of makeup, I think of that foundation stuff and I don't mm-hmm. use that stuff. But, you know, I just kind of did my eyes and, nothing major. But, you see some... you know, women that have nice makeup, and Susan's makeup, I thought, you know, was beautiful, and this is what she does. And I'm like, I need a makeup lesson. So she came to the office and I sat right up on the conference table and she made me up, and it was really fun.
And your makeup looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I noticed it when you came in, but again, as a guy, I'm always afraid to make that compliment because then you got to give it all the time. Otherwise they think, well, I don't look good today. He didn't say anything.
Just on Mondays.
Mondays?
Okay. All right. Mondays.
All right.
All right.
Kiss up Mondays is what we're going to call it.
Yes, dear.
Okay, yeah. All right. So you work with women. Do you work with men at all? Or
I do work with men. I love working
now, more
with
than
men.
Just metrosexuals, right? We're talking blue collar, white collar. Yep. Everything in
yes,
between.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Usually with men, it surrounds their work attire. Although I have worked with men who... recently singled and they're out on the dating field and they're just wanting to
can I tell
it
you can I tell you I'll share a story with mm-hmm. you about that and I may have shared it with you I don't know but about 15 years ago, a little less than that, when I was in the dating pool at that time, I was actually doing internet dating, which I really enjoyed. It was fun. If you're careful and judicious, you can meet some pretty nice people. So I was to meet this woman in Portsmouth at a little outside, Market Square, I think. And she was there. I recognized her. And we chatted for a few minutes. And she said to me, first date, orange isn't really a good color on you. Now, I mean, that may be true, and I don't know if it is or not. But I'm thinking.
It is true.
But would you say that to somebody that you knew for 10 minutes?
Well, I've known you for about 10 minutes now. No, I would not say that to somebody who is a potential date person. But no, absolutely. Listen, your coloring is cool, Mike. Mm-hmm. So that means blue undertones for you.
Yeah.
So, Mike has a red shirt on right now that looks terrific. It's like
maroon.
A blue-red, right, like
is
a cranberry right? red. Looks great on him. Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks.
That's your color.
I'll wear it every time that Susan comes in. Now.
Yeah, that is a very weird first date comment,
It
though.
Is. And I said nothing about her muffin top, so just let the record show, Your Honor, that I was a perfect gentleman and did not call her back, by the way. But so now I'm going to really be picking my wardrobe, my clothes. See, this is radio, so honestly, it doesn't really matter. But see, Susan's in here now.
Yeah, but we have an audience here, Mike.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know
how we squeeze them all in here to the Beacon building.
I know.
Well, I'm sorry. Carry on.
No.
Well, I wanted to come today to talk about spring. Spring is usually a great time to go shopping, right? And it's where all the new trends are. But, what happens is that it's a great time to sort of flex your shopping muscle at spring. But before you fall prey to all of the beautifully merchandised clothing that's out there and fork over some hard-earned cash, I just want to share some tips with some people before they venture out.
I think that sounds wonderful.
You don't mind if we interrupt if we have questions? Is that okay?
No, questions are good.
Because we don't use scripts on this show.
Yeah.
Holy kidding. Okay, go ahead.
Actually, what is new this season, Susan? Is there anything new?
Yes. All kinds of good stuff. So guess what, Carol? Yellow
is yellow.
Yellow is the color of the season for sure. And well, when I did your colors, remember I told you your yellow is a lemon yellow, right? So a lot of people feel that they can't wear yellow.
But there's cool yellow, which is a lemon yellow. And then there's a warm yellow, which is that sort of gold undertone yellow. So it's just identifying the right temperature yellow, by the way. So I told Carol that she looked great in yellow. She should try it out. And then the next time I saw her, she was in like this really bright, and I mean bright. She went over the top in such a good way, though. With this bright, fascinating yellow that looked amazing on her.
I was so excited to put it on. That was the day she did my makeup. And she comes in, I'm like, is this the right color?
She went from saying, I'm not sure I can wear yellow to like just going bananas with the neon yellow. It was great. And it looked fantastic on her because of your contrast level. But some other trends that are happening right now is art print patterns, right? So those bold and graphic patterns. Pastels are in right now. So if you're someone that has a low contrast level, you know, where your hair and your skin is sort of flowing and kind of matching, the pastel colors will look great on those types of people. Suede fringe is in, gingham is in, block heels are in.
Has gingham ever been away?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, when you just said buck heels, what is that?
Block.
Heels.
They're very thick, square
I love
heels,
those
and
heels.
They're extremely comfortable. And you know, I'm glad you brought it back up because they always look better on than when you're just looking at them.
I agree.
They're quite ugly when you're just looking at the shoe.
I agree.
But you got to put it on and walk around. They're super comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they always look better on. Than they do.
Would you wear a longer skirt or dress or something as opposed to a shorter, more revealing dress if you're wearing block heels?
Oh, great question, Mike. Wow.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes, actually. A shorter to the knee, right? So more leg showing with a block heel is going to be more complementary to elongate the leg.
More leg.
More leg.
I had
yes.
it backwards, but
right,
I was in the right neighborhood.
Okay.
Wrong house.
Okay. Interesting. Now, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't wear short anyway.
Well, springtime is a great time, like I mentioned, to inject some life into your wardrobe. But people run the risk of buying things on a whim, right? When it's really not conducive to either their personal style or their body type. And so this was some of the things that I wanted to talk about. So you might ask, how do people get the most bang for their buck?
That was our cue, Mike.
TJ Maxx.
TJ. Okay, but before you're willing to lay down hard-earned money for anything, right, people aren't willing to fork over money that they don't have figured out. Right. In any aspect of their purchasing, whether it's clothes or for anything else, if they don't have it figured out, they're less likely to make the purchase. But for some, that's exactly what happens when it comes to clothes, because we can't walk around naked. So we're forced to purchase things when we're not quite feeling like we have it together. Right. Because we know, we need a new pair of pants or jeans or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Or we have a special occasion or an event and we need to go, you know, buy a special outfit for it. When in fact we don't really, you know, we're not in tune with what it is we really want. Or more importantly, what looks best on our body
type. Do you shop with people, Susan?
I do, yes. I love shopping with people.
And typically, do people take your advice or do they just use you as a sounding board when they're selecting wardrobe pieces?
Yeah, it's interesting because it varies. Some clients will just sort of follow me along like a puppy dog because they hate shopping and they hate being in the store, right? Yeah. And so it really does depend on the personality too. Sometimes people are just like, I'm just going to go sit on that couch over there and, you know, just let me know when you gathered stuff and I'll go in the clothing room and get dressed. Whereas others might, you know, or I might encourage them to like go explore the area. Let's you come up with some things. I'll come up with some things and then we'll meet back in the dressing room and start outfitting and see what works for you. So, but you know, really, you know, getting back to the whole getting the most bang for your buck, the question really is, you know, how do we avoid buying clothes that just hang in our closets with the tag still on them? Or how do we avoid Carol's cringing. How do we avoid our clothes collecting dust, right? Because we don't know what to do with it. Or, you know, avoiding the clothes and pushing clothes and burying them in our closet because they no longer suit our style, but we can't get rid of them. How do we avoid that stuff? So there is this perception that, that women love to shop. Do you think that, Mike?
I do believe that.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of women, especially women in their mid-30s and between mid-30s and 50s, actually don't find clothes shopping all that enjoyable.
Does it have to do with body image issues in many cases?
It does, yeah. So not only is time and money a huge factor in this, but they have to face what I call their fashion FUD, which is their fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Ooh,
right?
Fun.
The frustrations that, that they have when they're trying to get it right, right? Building a wardrobe that they love, buying clothes that fit their body, and finding a true style. Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay,
Carol, do you have a lot of clothes that, that don't get worn? I mean, you're going through a transformation now, which is understandable, but do you find, and that was a good description, as Susan said, the dust is collecting, the tags are still on them, never having been worn. I bet that happens more often than not.
I have an Oprah closet, and it's full.
An Oprah closet?
Yes.
Complete with chandelier.
Oh, do you really?
Yes,
right. But you wear your stuff. Or
I do.
You?
No, okay. I do. I mean, see, I love to shop. So, you know, any opportunity, any time that I find, I go shopping. And so I do have I have a lot of clothes. I like fashion. I like clothes.
You're a creative person.
She likes funky.
I like funky.
She does like funky.
I do.
And
like
I
funky.
Like that.
I like funky. Yeah. So, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. I kind of expected you to say that there's more stuff that you don't use that often. But it, since you're so into it, I can see where you want to make everything count that you buy, which is what I think Susan's trying to
she
put
does. And
yeah.
One of the things that she also said is make, you know, when and I did this when I went shopping after you told me this, to only buy what you absolutely love. Like, you love this and you have to have it, you know? I did that and I didn't buy a piece that I would have normally just bought. You know, I kind of looked at it and I'm like,
Right, you didn't,
nope.
You didn't fall for the kind of sort of like a it'll do.
Exactly.
Mentality,
exactly.
Right? And when you love something, no matter what it costs, it's 100% worth it.
Exactly.
Right. But some people do have a lot of fear around the shopping because they, you know, don't have their style put together and they, you know, want a better dress for their body type. And so I always say you got to start in your head before you can start in your closet, before you can start in the store.
Ooh.
And so where people tend to start is at the store.
Right.
But you got to start in your head. And here's the hard part. So here's anyone who's ever worked with me has heard this analogy for sure. Yeah, I call it the grocery analogy. When most people decide to get healthy, they, you know, they set a value, right? So they're setting a value for themselves. And here are the steps that they go through. Number one, they make a plan on how they're going to eat. Number two, they go through their kitchen cabinets to remove out the junk, right? So they're not tempted by the unhealthy stuff.
Exactly.
And number three, they make a list of what it is they're going to eat. And then they look through their closet, you know, their inventory to see what they have. And then they make a list of the things that they need.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Right.
So you do that in your closet.
Do it in your closet.
Most people don't, though.
Right.
Getting back to the compulsion thing, I think so many sales are compulsive. I see it. I like it. I buy it.
Absolutely.
And we got to take a quick break.
We do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask her what the average woman spends on clothes. I'm curious about that. So stay tuned. You're listening to Food for Thought. And we're in studio with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we are in studio with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. And we're hearing how to shop, how to clothes shop the right way. And there are little secrets that we're revealing. So can you answer that question? What does the average woman spend on clothes? The average. I'm not average.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm really curious.
Yeah. The average woman, well, so according to the Bureau of Economics Analysis, the average person spends $1,700 per year on clothes shopping and related items.
Person? So it doesn't break it down by gender?
Correct. So,
man, that's,
right. So here's a question. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, well, let me ask you, what do you think a woman spends per year?
Well, it's a lot more than
well,
that.
Well, you've given us, see, the guys are going to bring the number down, or maybe that's a deceiving, this could be a trick question.
It could be.
It's $2,500, I would say.
$2,500? No.
You think I'm too high?
No.
Well, I mean, remember, you're not the typical consumer.
Okay, average.
That's $50 a week.
What can you get for $50 a week
but
now?
But go shopping every week for clothes. Okay. All right. Carol's hand is up. All right. Take us out of our misery here.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. How much is it?
The average woman spends $3,400.
Right. Well, that's almost 70 bucks a week.
So that's, yes, yeah, approximately $280 a month. Now imagine spending, imagine just going to the grocery store without a list, without a strategy, without an action, and
Bingo.
Just blowing $200.
Yeah.
No. You wouldn't do that.
Right.
You're gonna sit back and think, what do I need? What do I want? Am I going to buy food that I don't like? Because sometimes that's really what people are doing with their clothes.
Man, that's a good analogy.
That is a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sad, actually. I mean, that's a lot of money, and there are still women sort of complaining that they have clothes in their that they have tons of clothes in their closets and nothing to wear.
Right.
Now, I'm a binge shopper. Again, I'm a different creature than Carol. I might go once or twice a year, get six pairs of jeans and a half a dozen shirts.
That's the typical man.
Yeah, it is, because I don't get any pleasure out of just doing a little bit here and a little bit there. I kind of get in the mood, and then I say, all right, I'm going for it today.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that's fairly typical for males?
It is, actually, yeah. Very, very common with my male clients. It's usually maybe sometimes once a year, sometimes twice a year, you know, for the season, for the winter and spring season. But, they'll just go and get everything they need all in one. We'll have a big long list and spend 8 hours shopping.
Is there an issue with that or?
No. Yeah. No. In fact, you know, I'm a big advocate for shopping that way, because when you... What happens is when you're shopping for all of your most of your wardrobe sort of in one day, in one place, in one store or whatever, one mall. And so you're more strategic about like the things that are in your hands, what's going with what, what you can pair with what, you know, your color coordinating is a little better, as opposed to, you know, shopping once a week and you're building a wardrobe. You have this big wardrobe at home, and then you're out in the store and you think, oh, that bright pink skirt looks great. I'm going to buy it. And it has all these ruffles or whatever. And you love it. And you bring it home and you realize, oh, yeah, I've got nothing to go with this. And then, you know, and then the snowball effect happens and then you have to go out and find something for the skirt. And, you know, so that's what not to do. Don't do that, actually. When you're shopping, try to find like the whole outfit. If you're building a wardrobe, that's the ideal way to do it.
Yeah, and I don't like to have preconceived notions either in terms of what colors or styles I'm kind of wanting to see, what the latest Levi colors are, what's going to mix with certain, you know, shirts and other ensemble pieces. I don't go shopping for the groceries with my list when I go clothes shopping. I kind of have an idea. Maybe a sport
just don't
coat.
Get orange, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I've learned today that orange, and I do love yellow. So I'm gonna. Although I'm not sure if yellow would work for me.
He's a cool.
He's cool. Yeah. So he's a lemon yellow.
Mm-hmm. I'm a lemon yellow.
Lemon yellow.
Okay. It would match.
You would look good.
Or
in
butter.
Lemon yellow.
A butter yellow would look really good.
Well,
on
yellow
you.
Matches my teeth, so that's perfect.
No, that's not true. Not true at all. So I have some tips for both men and women.
You got about 2 minutes, so you know.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna have a plan, right? Don't go shopping when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're emotional. All of those feelings are not a good recipe for when you're trying to close shop. Go alone. This is the big one. Unless, of course, you're hiring me and you need an image consultant with you. But go alone. Do not go with a friend. right? Because you know your body best, you know your style best, and you'll just be distracted. You'll be brought in other departments, and you know where your friend wants to go. Go alone. You'll be more strategic. You're in and out. You're thinking grocery store mode, in and out, right? Be comfortable when you go shopping. You're going to be staring at yourself in the mirror. So look good, right? Do your hair, do your makeup a little bit. Wear comfortable shoes. Wear clothes that you can get in and out of easy. Those are some quick tips.
Those nicely are done.
Great.
She heard the music. She knew it was done.
I am going to Macy's. I'm going to Macy's. I am. I'm going to go to Macy's.
We got fun tomorrow. Let me just quickly mention Lindsay Frucci, who built a no-pudge brownie empire, and then something really bad happened. We're going to go to the Sugar House, Fuller Sugar House tomorrow. It's maple season, and our friends from Make-A-Wish. So we have a full show tomorrow at noon.
We do. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Susan.